We're going to look again in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. This is part 15 in our series, and it's winding down. But as we've covered many times, in the first two chapters, there's six chapters total. In the first two chapters, Paul defends the gospel. In the second two, Paul explains the gospel. And in the last two chapters, Paul applies the gospel. And this is where we're at right now, is the applying part, how to apply the truth of the gospel, the grace of our Lord and Savior, and apply it in our lives so that we could understand how to live in grace. I think one of the, a few Sundays ago, last month, I guess, in our night service, we have a service at the beginning of every month, a night service, and we talked about then the new covenant, the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And I think one of the biggest hindrances, one of the biggest problems that we have in churches, I'm not just talking about this church, any church when it comes to that, this day and age, is that we don't really understand what really is taking place in a new covenant. We get saved under the new covenant, we understand that part of it, but then we try to live under the old covenant and try to keep ourselves going by keeping all kinds of rules and different things when we know that's not the case anymore, and Jesus has already paid for everything and our salvation is free and he keeps us. And but what have happened over the years, and I'm sure has happened here, has happened in any church, people come on a Sunday morning and we say, you know, God loves you, he's concerned about you and he blesses you, and then they come back Sunday night and we say, well, now you got this problem, you got that problem, and God's not so pleased with you after all. You know, and we're just back and forth and back and forth, and people come in and they get confused, and they get frustrated, and they say, well, you know, does God love me, or does he hate me, is he mad against me, is he pleased with me, what is the situation? And this is what we're hopefully going to try to straighten out in the next little while, probably not all today, but as we get into the rest of this book of Galatians. Here in Galatians chapter 5, last week we looked at Paul, who said, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom that Christ has set us free, in which Christ has set us free. And God wants us to understand the freedom that we have and to stand fast in it. And we went down through the first 15 verses. We're going to take up verse 16 today. But let's bow together and ask God's direction before we look into the Word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the privilege of being able to come into your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, as we look into the Word, we pray for wisdom and guidance and direction, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, part 15 we're in, and today we're looking at walking in the Spirit, beginning at verse 16. Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, notice there's a couple words here I want us to look at. First of all, Paul talks about the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And what he's talking about there is walking in the power of God's Spirit, walk in the power of what Jesus has done for us, not in our own abilities. Okay, because the last word in that verse, you'll see it in a minute. And then there's another word, it's called lust. Okay, now, in our modern terminology today, when we talk about lust, the very first thing we think about is something sexual, something, you know, with a negative connotation and stuff like this. But he's not talking about that necessarily, although that could be part of, you know, when he talks about lust in the flesh and things like this. But he's talking about any strong desire that you have, any longing for something. It could be bad or good, because the Bible also talks about the Spirit lust against the flesh. So it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is bad, but it just uses that word lust as a strong desire or a strong impulse to do something. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the strong desires of the flesh. Now, when he's talking about flesh here, he's not talking necessarily about, you know, your skin and your flesh and things. He's talking about the old nature, the old Adamic nature, the old nature that you receive from Adam. And you understand that you have Adam's nature and you had nothing to do with it. You were born with it. And so that old nature has got desires to do things that are contrary to what God wants. And notice what Paul says here, and we're going to take our time at this part of it this morning. If we don't get through it, we finish it up tonight. And but if not, we'll do something else tonight. But anyway, notice what Paul says here, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if you understand what's going on here, most of the time, and this is completely opposite of the normal way that people try to live the Christian life. We try to say, now, if you clean up your life, if you condemn sin in the flesh, then you'll be walking in the Spirit. Isn't that the way, you know, we've always felt? That if we get rid of sin, if we get rid of the problems, if we can overcome this battle, if we can conquer that habit, and we can do this, and, you know, we do everything in our own strength, and we feel good about ourselves, then we start walking in the Spirit. And that's basically the way it has been taught over the years. And I know growing up, we were in a church, and it seemed like everything that was good in the faith, we had to work for. It wasn't something that was given to us. We had to work for it. And I can remember hearing pastors say over the years, you know, if you can't jump and shout about it, you don't have anything. And man, you left church so many times, felt like you're so discouraged because you felt you had nothing. Because everyone, I mean, I'm not the person that jumps and shouts and screams and runs around. I mean, I've been here long enough now, you know that. You know, now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I mean, I wish I could do it sometimes because you feel it inside, but you just can't get your limbs to work the same way that, you know, you want them to. And but we grew up believing, or not believing, I guess, I never anyway, but it was taught to us that unless you can shout and scream and get up and give a good testimony and pray loud and sing good and shout and run around and kick up a big fuss, you don't really have anything. You know, and we've tried to measure our spirituality by how involved we became or how good we were at doing things. You know, and that's not the case at all. Because my salvation is not based on how good I can sing or shout or scream or pray or anything else. It's based on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You know, we need to understand that. And Paul's saying here, if we would walk in the Spirit, as I said, it's completely opposite in the way that it was told us growing up. We're always told that if you condemn sin, if you overcome this problem, you defeat that area, and, you know, you finally conquer all these things, then you'll be walking in the Spirit. But that's not what he's saying. See, here, this is where the secret is at in the age of grace compared to under the law. Under the law, you had to try to keep all these laws, all these rules, these ceremonies and rituals and you know, things that you had to live up to. In the new covenant, he tells us the secret to doing that, he said, is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill that. Now, let's move on here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 5. And this is a passage that eventually we're going to get into and spend more time in. But Romans chapter 8, Paul goes to Romans chapter 7, and he's talking about, you've heard this said before, and you've been there yourself. Paul said, the things that I want to do. You understand that? The things that you want to do. You know that are right. You know you should be serving God. You should be doing this. You should be, you know. The things that I want to do, Paul said, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, he said, I end up doing. Paul said, I find there's a law, he said, working against me. He said, in my heart, he said, I want to serve the law of God. I want to serve God. I want to do what's right. He said, but there's another law. He said, I found out, he said, that whenever I want to do good, he says, sin is always there. Sin is always present. That's chapter 7. Okay? So Paul says, and I just paraphrase it, and I'm bringing it all together quickly. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, he's just torn between these two things all the time. He said, who's going to deliver me from this? And then in the last verse of chapter 7, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the one who's going to deliver him, or has delivered him. Now, then in verse 1 of chapter 8, Paul says here, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's something I want us to see. And the second part of that verse says it this way, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, when you read that, it sounds like it's something, well, again, it goes right back to the same thing. I've got to do my best, and if I do that long enough, then I'll be walking in the Spirit. That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, if you look it up in a lot of newer translations, that last part of chapter 8 and verse 1, the second part of the verse is not even there. Okay? Now, there's a little note here in the margin of mine. There's a number 1 by it, and I find it for you now in a second, where it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me find it if I can find it. It says, most manuscripts omit the rest of verse 1. Most manuscripts don't even have that in there. Now, I don't know if anybody's got a newer translation and it doesn't have that in there. Anybody got a newer translation without that part of the verse? Romans 8 and 1. Anyway, Romans 8 and 1, what the original actually said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. That's what it's actually saying. Is that what you got? Yeah. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. It doesn't say period. I mean, the period is there. You understand what I mean? But see, a lot of times we preach, and I've done it over the years, I preach a second part of the verse and say, yeah, but there's a condition. You've got to do this, 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 and this. Well, that goes right back to the law again, trying to do it by your own strength. Paul said, I'm convinced, he said, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's not me keeping my salvation anymore. It's him. You understand that? Now, so he says, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5:16. Notice what Paul says here in 8, and well, we read down through the verse. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And as I said, this part of the verse is left out, but I'll read it there now. It's in King James. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It says basically the same thing anyway. It says it again in verse 4 where it belongs. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now remember, Paul was talking to him in chapter 7 here, all the problems that he had. I want to do this, I can't do it, I don't want to do that, and I end up doing it. I'm always doing what I don't want to do and not doing what I should be doing. Okay, anybody else go through that? Or just Paul? We all do. Thank you. At least somebody's honest. And I put my hands up, I put two of them. Okay? And if you never put up your hands this morning, you're lying anyway. Okay, we all go through it. It's just human nature. And you see, what a lot of people think that the minute I got saved, the old nature is gone. No, it's not gone. It's still there. Okay? This is why Paul talked about it here. You can read around through the scriptures everywhere. You know, Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. He said, this old nature that's within me, that old Adam. You see, when you got saved, your spirit was born again. The old nature is there, and we have to conquer what's going on there in that old nature. Now, let's read on. We get this. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, the law, remember the Ten Commandments and all the ceremonies and rituals and everything else back here under the old covenant. This law, the Bible said it was an administration of death. It was an administration of condemnation. Every time you sin, you felt condemned. You understand that? See, over in Hebrews, the Bible talks that the blood of Jesus will cleanse our conscience. Okay, from dead works. Here, when you sinned right here, for instance, if you stole something, if you told a lie, if you work on the Sabbath day, if you committed adultery, whatever you did right here, the minute you did it, there was all kinds of condemnation. And there was no way, you see, the law pronounced a judgment upon you. When you made that mistake, death. Remember the lady he brought to Jesus? Moses said, kill her. Stone her. Moses was the law. Stone her. So right here, this law brings nothing but condemnation. The Bible called it the administration of condemnation. All it did was brought condemnation to people. Now, see, the law had no way to set you free from your bondages. It told you that you're doing something wrong, but it never ever helped you to do anything right. You understand? If you wanted to do right, you had to do it in your own strength. And Paul said, you can't do it. He said, I've tried that. He said, when I want to do it right, he said, I can't. When I want to do wrong, or when I don't want to do wrong, he said, I end up doing it anyway. Okay? Now, so he says here, the law of the Spirit of life. Now, when he's talking about law right here, he's not necessarily talking about the law like the Ten Commandments law, you know, like a bunch of rules. But he's talking about the principle, the lifestyle over here in Christ has set me free from the sin, law of sin and death. For what the law, then he goes back to the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament law, what the law could not do, the law could not make you righteous. You understand that? All the law could do was tell you how far off course you were. You understand? The law could tell, I've used this before, the law was like a mirror. You look in the mirror in the morning, you can see you need a shave, you need your hair cut or combed or whatever, you know, you need to clean up. But you could stay there all day looking at that mirror, and it's not going to do one thing for you. Make you feel worse, is all it's going to do. Isn't that true? Well, that's exactly what the law did. Every time you read the Ten Commandments, you felt worse. You felt bad. You know, and especially when Jesus put his explanation on it, you might look at the Ten Commandments and say, you know, I've never, ever, ever committed adultery. Jesus said over here, he said, yeah, but did you ever think of anything wrong? You're just guilty. Well, I've never, ever stole from anyone. But have you been trying to figure out some way that you can get something that don't belong to you? See, all these different things. He said, it's the thoughts. Jesus said, what's in your heart that comes out? He said, that's where the problem is at. It's not, you know, what you put into your body, but what comes out, you understand that. But anyway, the law, he said, the law could not make me righteous. Righteousness did not come by the law. The Bible says that. But yet for all the Jewish people believed that if you kept the Ten Commandments, you're righteous. So he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Well, that's exactly what Paul was saying. The law, the Bible tells us the law was perfect, it was holy, it was righteous, it was good. The law itself, the Ten Commandments, I mean, you couldn't go against it. Even today, I mean, it's still wrong to commit adultery, still wrong to kill somebody, still wrong to steal, still wrong, you know, all these different things that the Ten Commandments were against. The law itself is good. But the problem was the flesh, the old nature. It was weak. And this is what Paul says here. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. He said, God did what the law couldn't do, God did. Now you get this? The law could not save me, but God could. The law could not make me righteous, but God could. So what the law could not do, God did. You understand that? Now, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus came in Adam's race in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So all this condemnation that was against us, what the law was condemning us with, Jesus came and put an end to it. That's what he's saying. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law, okay? The righteous requirements of the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. All these different requirements of the law that we couldn't keep. Jesus did something about it, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not because of anything you've done. Remember, Paul said you can't do it. But the righteous requirements of the law is now fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, what he's saying there, and I'm just going to try to tie this together. Remember what he said right here in Galatians 5:16? Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we focus our mind upon God, you say, you know, I want to do right. I want to always be good. I always want to be in church on time. I want to serve God right. But yet my mind is always bringing up those bad thoughts. You know, and maybe there's some habit that you're bound by or whatever the case might be. And you say, you know, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to get away from that. And I get away from it for a week, or probably 2 weeks or a month, and I figure I got it conquered, and then all of a sudden I realize I've done it again. Anybody ever go through stuff like that? Right? Well, you know, I mean, it's just human nature. You know, and the law, the minute you do that, the law condemns you. Ha-ha, you're supposed to be a Christian. And you've done this, and you've done something else, and you know, and it brings all the shame and the guilt and the condemnation. See, that's what the law was for. It was to condemn us. That was the whole purpose. It was never given to make us right. Jesus had to make us right. Jesus had to fulfill the righteousness of the law and give it to us. So now, when you make a mistake, the law will still come in. The old nature is there, and the law will still come in and try to put you under that condemnation. But this is what Paul says. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's talking about the very same thing we're talking about here. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. And he said, I'm feeling condemned all the time. He said, but there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You understand that? So once you are in Christ, once you become a Christian, there's no condemnation upon you anymore. The devil will try it, the law will try it, and try to bring all this condemnation upon you all the time, but there's no condemnation if you're in Jesus. Now, down in, got another verse here I want us to read as well. Down in verse 12. Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Then he says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, what Paul's saying here, and I read a little bit further than what I had up there, but it's okay. What Paul's saying there, if we, as Christians, if you're trying to serve God by how good you can not sin, or how good you can keep away from problems, how good you can always focus in, you know, and try to do your own, he said, you're doomed for failure right from the beginning. But he said, if you get over here and your delight is in the law of the Lord, your delight is just serving God, just pleasing God, just wanting to worship God, just spend time in his presence, spend time in his word, not because you have to be righteous, but you have to in order to grow in the things of God. If you get here and you're just filling yourself with God, he said, you're not, all these desires will eventually just drop off. This is what he's saying. See, what we've tried to do, we've tried over here and fighting these desires ourselves. And I can't do this, I can't do that, and we're just constantly battling against it. He said, if you leave that alone for a minute, stop worrying about it, and get over here and just focus on centering it around Jesus and worshiping him and realizing who he is and what he's done for you, and start loving him, he said, these things, you're walking in the Spirit, these things will fall off by themselves. This is what he's saying. A good illustration of this, and I'm going to finish up. A good illustration of this is, I was looking yesterday out in our yard. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't like yard work, okay? I don't like pruning and digging, and that's not my cup of tea. Thank you, Darren. Darren gives me a thumb up, so that's good. I get no interest in that. I mean, I got to force myself to go out and mow the lawn. I just don't like it at all, you know? And that's not my cup of tea at all. And when we plant flowers and things like this, well, Steve came over and helped me the other day, Steve, maybe, and we're still trying to get over it. Pet, give us some hard look, and because we cut down things that we shouldn't have, and we, you know, and things like this. But anyway, this, you know, is not my thing, gardening. Now, some of you love it, and thank God that God has put people on the planet like that, because if it was like me, everything would be grown over, and, you know. But a few years ago, we planted some flowers and everything in the front yard, you know, in front of the house there. And we ordered some weeds from someplace, because that's all we got was weeds in the soil. And we put the soil down, put the plants in there, and the weeds came up. I mean, they were growing 10 times faster than the plants were. And it was supposed to be good soil and everything else, but it wasn't. And I mean, we went out there and we picked everything out, and man, it looked perfect. I mean, you know, nice and clean and everything else. The flowers are coming up, bright colors and all these different things. And you know what happens? 2 or 3 days later, all the weeds are back there again. And you go out and you start picking them out again. See, I may be dense in this, but I went out and picked them all out again, and Pat was there with me, and we picked them all out and put them in a wheelbarrow and took them out and threw them out in the back. And 2 or 3 weeks after, they're all back there again. And I thought, man, there's got to be a way to get around this. You know? And somebody said, well, why don't you put mulch under? Now, we had mulch under the year before. I don't think we had enough under, because I think the weeds just ate that for food or something. And but anyway, the next time, we went last year, and we bought this red cedar mulch, you know? And I made sure I was going to get enough. And I still got two or three bags left over there now. And we went down, we bought, I don't know how many bags it was. We came back and we piled it on and put it all over the, you know, flower beds and things like this. And this year, we went out once and picked, I'm not exaggerating, there might have been 8 or 10 weeds, you know, that we picked out of it. Right? The mulch is keeping it down. Now, if you take that as a spiritual lesson, as long as you try to pick at the weeds in your own life and try to battle it and everything else, it's always going to keep popping up. That's what Paul was saying. He said, what I try to do, I can't get it to work out. You know, and the minute you think you've got it conquered, all of a sudden it's back there again. Especially you get a bit of rain and a bit of sun. See, you know. And so you got all these problems. And you're always, always, you could be constantly just working at that, you know, working in the flesh. Okay, let's call it the part of the flesh. You're always picking at it and working at it and trying to get it gone, and it looks good for a while. And you know what it's like if you got a habit that you're trying to break or some problem is going on, and you say, well, you know, man, I've conquered that, and this is 2 weeks now, and I haven't, you know, been drinking, or I haven't been doing this, and, you know, whatever the thing would be. And you say, I've conquered it. And you feel pretty good about yourself. And the devil says, And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and maybe it was drinking, and you just got such a driving, you know, longing for the drink or something like the lust of the flesh, the Bible talks about. You got, you know, and you just, all of a sudden before you realize it, you've done something that you didn't want to do. Okay, it could be anything. It could be pornography. It could be drugs. It could be anything. And you've done something that you shouldn't have done. And the law, see, the devil, the Bible says the devil uses the law. You come back in, and the law will condemn you again. And you see, you can only go through that to a certain amount of time, and eventually it just wears you down. Right? You get so discouraged. And that's why a lot of people left church and say, man, I can't live up to it. I just can't do it. And you ever hear people talk like that? Just cannot keep up to it. See, that's walking in the flesh, trying to pick at the weed yourself. But get over here and load it down with mulch. Okay? Get God's word in you. Start living for God's, you know, and I'm not talking about doing it because you have to and you're afraid of God and all these. No, just start to love the Lord and just start to spend time in His presence and be around His people, listen to Christian music, whatever it is. But just you know, there's another verse. We're not even going to get to the first verse here today. We're just going to close it off. There's a whole lot of them, but anyway. But you see, if you take, and like I said, this is probably a crude example, but if you take the mulch and put on the weeds, you won't have to worry about them anymore. And all of a sudden, a weed pops up. No big deal. There's only one. You deal with it. Get it gone again. You know, and eventually, you would choke it all out. You understand that? And this is what he's saying. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you load down with the mulch of God's word and you know, spending time in His presence and just fellowshipping with Him, just loving Him and meditating on what He's done for you. I'm not talking about, you know, struggling. You say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm not talking about that. But just begin to love the Lord. Just start to meditate upon His word. Just start to fellowship with Him. And you'll find that these things will drop off. And you know as well as I do, and if you're honest with yourself, you agree with this. In the past, when you have been able to get into God's Word, when you have been able to spend time in His presence, when you have been able to be at church all the time, you found that the other things start to drop off. You ever be honest now? You find that? Right? See, we're on the right principle, so to speak, of spending time, but we're doing it for the wrong reason. We're doing it trying to, you know, struggle to overcome. No, just get there and just bask in His presence. Just love Him. Let Him love you. Just spend time in His presence. And this is what He's talking about. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've always done it the other way. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. That's not what He's saying. See, the church has had it backwards for all these years. And once we realize that if we just start to love Him, just start to meditate upon His word, just start to spend time in His presence, we'll be walking in the Spirit, and these things would die. These things would look after themselves. And you see, well, what happens if I sin? Does it mean I'm a sinner again? Does it mean I'm lost? See, here's what the devil's tricked the church for generations. I've told you this before. When we were growing up, I remember a pastor teaching one time in a youth group meeting. And I still don't know, and I've told you this many times, I don't know for sure if this is the way he said it, but this is the way I understood it. So he must have said something along this line. He said, when you got saved, and he was talking to a crowd of young people, we had about 35 in our youth group at the time. He said, when you gave your heart to the Lord, he said, everything you ever did before that, he said, was gone. God never ever bring it up to you again. But every sin you commit from now on, you'll have to answer for. That frightened the life out of a teenager. You understand that? Frightened the life out of us now. Every sin you ever commit from now on, you're going to have to pay for. No. Now, as I said, I'm not saying the pastor said that, but that's the way I understood it, and that's the way all the young people understood it. But that's not true. That's not the case. See, he paid one sacrifice for sin forever. The Bible says he has perfected forever them that are being sanctified, those that came to him. And see, when you make a mistake, okay, you say, well, I got this problem with whatever. You can put your own problem in there. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, it don't cover. Yes, it covers every problem. Matter of fact, if we had time to get in there this morning, we would have got into the works of the flesh and things like this. And Paul says, if there be any such thing, well, that opens the gate to everything. Every problem that you face, every habit that you have that you don't like, every situation you're facing that's sinful. And you say, well, you know, I just can't seem to get the victory over it. There's always struggle. Paul goes on, and again, we'll probably get into it tonight. Paul goes on, and he said, the flesh and the spirit is inside you. And there's fight. And he said, one is warring against the other. There's a battle going on. It's like two dogs inside of you. You know? You got one dog that's vicious. Maybe he's a black dog. And you got a white dog in there too. The black dog wants to do everything bad. The white dog wants to do everything good. And you got them fighting all the time on the inside. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. What am I going to do about this? I can't overcome it. And listen, you know as well as I do, and we might as well just stop it right now. You can't defeat it in your own strength. You can try it. You can try willpower. You can try everything you want. But you're not going to do it with your own strength unless you got God's help with you. Okay? And Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, he said, I just can't seem to work it out. Can't seem to get it to work. And all of a sudden, you say to yourself, you know, I've conquered it. And then all of a sudden, you wake up and you realize, before you realize it, you're looking at pornography again, or you're drinking again, or you're drugs again, or whatever the case. And you say, well, man, I'm condemned, and there's no hope for me. Now, we don't have time to get into all of it this morning. We'll touch on it tonight. Paul says, they that do such things. See, and this is where the devils frighten us all the time. He talked about drunkenness and all these different things and wild parties and all these. And Paul said, they that do such things will not see the kingdom of heaven, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it frightened us. And the law comes in and says this. See, that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that in the New Testament. And it brings fear. And we think, well, man, I've blown it, and I there's no hope for me. You know what the Bible says? If we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just, he cleanses us from our sin and from all unrighteousness. And the minute you make a mistake, you go back to God. And that's washed away. And matter of fact, God's not even going to condemn you for it. Now, God's not pleased with it, but there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, and the thing is, you know, you know what happens? You know what the Bible says? The law is the strength of sin. Now, we thought the law was there to deliver us from sin. No, the law is the strength of sin. Let me explain how it works. Over here in grace, people say, well, if you're going to preach grace all the time, that means people are going to go out and live like the devil. They're going to go out and they're going to sin. They're going to, you know, have no control whatsoever. Well, we talked about that last week. Paul had the same problem, dealt with the same question. Because Paul says, he said, don't use your liberty as a license to sin. Okay? You're free. Paul said, all things are lawful to me. You say, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with drinking a bottle of beer. Paul said, all things are lawful. But he said, all things aren't expedient. You understand that? You know, some people say, well, there's nothing in the Bible but you shouldn't take drugs. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Now, I'm not going to condemn anybody. You know, matter of fact, if you go on in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, when somebody is overtaken in a sin, he said, you that are spiritual, restore them. Don't condemn them. He said, consider, he said, the next time could be you. And you might need somebody to restore you. You understand that? So this is what he's saying. So people are afraid that if we preach grace, we're going to give them a license to sin. Kenneth Hagin said one time, he said, you realize that people are sinning, he said, without a license? They're sinning regardless. You can preach grace, you can preach the law all you want, they're still going to sin. But here's what happens. You see, the law will condemn you, and you try to pull yourselves up again by your own bootstraps, so to speak, and you try to overcome this problem. You defeat it for a week or two, and it's probably 6 months. And you say, oh man, now I can relax. I finally won the battle. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you let down your guard, it all comes back in again, and you realize, man, I'm right back. And eventually it wears you down, and you say, what's the use? And you just throw in the towel, and you give up, and you just sin and don't care anymore. You understand that? You know, and when you do that, see, that's what the law, that's the whole purpose of the devil using the law against us. The law could not help you. All the law could tell you is, says, this is the measurement you have to reach. And we've been here trying to jump, trying to reach that measurement ourselves, and we couldn't do it. Okay, Jesus came along, and he reached that measurement, and he brought it across here. And now when we're in Christ, God looks at us as if we reached that measurement. You understand that? The righteousness that the law demanded, that measurement. Remember the Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, the standard that God set for us. Jesus met that standard, brought it over here, gave us his righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he sees us up here. Matter of fact, the Bible says he sees us seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I don't feel like I'm in heavenly places. I don't feel like I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I didn't have anything to do with that. Well, you never had anything to do with Adam's sin either. But you received Adam's sin. You understand it? Jesus is the last Adam. So what Adam lost right here, you were there. Even though you weren't born, but in Adam all die. By one man's sin, the Bible says, sin came into the world and death came because of sin. So in Adam, even though you don't know anything about it, you weren't there, you understand it by faith that in Adam I died. Okay, you understand that. Well, even though you didn't feel anything and you weren't there when Jesus died on the cross, but it's still in God's word, and God says the very same way, in Adam all died, in Christ all are made alive. But I don't feel any different. It's got nothing to do with it. I didn't feel any different back here. I didn't have anything to do with this, but I was automatically just put into Adam's race. When I make a decision to come into Jesus, over here, everything that Jesus has becomes mine. I don't feel any different, makes no difference. In God's eyes, it's been given to me. Just as Adam's sin was imputed to me when I was born. You understand that? When I was born in the flesh, Adam's sin was imputed to me. When I was born again, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to me. You understand the difference? And see, we've tried over here to, as I said, jump and do everything, try to reach that standard, and there's no way you're going to do it. Paul said, I've tried it. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, it's the Apostle Paul. You know, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who's able to deliver me? He said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, he said, I died to the world and the world died to me. He said, it's in Jesus. That's where the victory is at. So this is what he's saying. Live right here. Stay right here. When you make a mistake and the devil tries to drag you back over here again and condemn you, don't go back there. Stay right here. So listen, there's no condemnation. I made a mistake. God, I'm sorry for it. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to keep my eyes upon Jesus. He said, if you do that, he said, you will defeat the lust of the flesh. But what we've tried to do all the time, we come over here and we tried everything in our strength. New Year's resolutions. This situation, that problem, this, you know, and we tried everything. We tried to defeat this ourselves, and you can't do it. Get over here. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. When you make a mistake, don't be condemned by it. Just keep your eyes upon Jesus. The devil will try to condemn you under the law, but we're not under the law. The Bible says we're under grace. You understand? So when you make a mistake, you sin, you do something wrong, you're still under grace. You're not jumping back from covenant, from testament to testament, Old Testament, New Testament, covenant to covenant. You are in the new covenant. The Bible says, in this covenant, God says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. The Bible says God was in Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross, the Bible says God was in Christ. The Father was in Christ. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus, the Bible says, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily when he came to the earth. But God was in Christ. What was he doing? Reconciling the world unto himself. And this is what he said, not imputing their trespasses against them anymore. See, what the devil makes you believe, and I can guarantee you, we've all gone through this. Maybe you've got a problem with whatever. I don't want to pinpoint anything because people say, oh, you're saying that because of me. But you know your problems. And you got a problem there, and maybe you blew it this week. And all of a sudden you went out and you got a flat tire. Say, huh? Yeah. That's God paying me back. That's consequences of what I did. You know, and the devil will use that. And sometimes, you know, something happened and maybe somebody gets sick in the family. Yeah, it was my fault because what I did. And the devil will use that and he'll hammer you with it. Listen, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, I might have sinned. I might have done something over here and went over and did something in the flesh. But listen, I'm still in Christ Jesus. You understand? I'm still in Christ Jesus and I'm trusting in his salvation. Not in my own strength. There's 11 or 12 verses we're supposed to cover today. We haven't got through the first one, but we'll leave it at that right now. We'll touch on the rest of them tonight. Paul said, if you live in this constantly right here and have no... You see, people say, well, you know, maybe I've committed the unpardonable sin. Anybody ever... The devil ever whispered that to you? I've committed... We grew up in a church back home, and there was a man there, actually was related to our family, he's an older man, and I've seen him in church crying tears, big burly man, strong, working the woods all his life, and see him in the service just crying, quiet man, you never heard a whimper out of him, but he would cry. He said, I can't get saved. He said, I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I remember the pastor talking with him over and over and over, said, listen, no, you haven't done that, you know. You know something? Jesus talked about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Pharisees, when they came up to him, the Sadducees, and I don't know which one of those groups came to him, and they said, well, he's casting out devils by the power of the devil, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Remember that? And Jesus said, he said, if Satan is divided against himself, he said, his kingdom can't stand. He said, but then he went on, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, every sin that a man commits will be forgiven him, except one sin. If you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. In other words, what he's saying, if you take what God is doing and say, that's the devil's power. You know, now, and people say, well, you know, I've said things and I've done things and, you know, maybe I've committed the unpardonable sin. But I probably shouldn't even say this, but I got to still do more study on this. But this just struck me the other week. When Jesus said that, that was under the old covenant. That was before grace came. You understand that? That was before Jesus died. Jesus lived what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels. We say, well, that's in the New Testament. It's in the New Testament regards to in the book, but it's not in the New Testament era. Jesus still lived under the old covenant. Remember, the Bible says he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. So when Jesus lived on the earth, Jesus still lived according to Moses' law. He had to in order to fulfill it for us. But the Bible says that when he fulfilled the law, he crucified the law. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us over in Colossians, he took the law and he nailed it to the cross with him. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to the cross and took it out of the way. Jesus destroyed the law's power over us. You understand that? So a lot of times when you read something, and like I said, I've got to go through this myself yet and still do some more study on it, but when Jesus said that, he was saying it under the law before grace came in its fullness. See, grace never came until Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished." The old system of trying to serve God and please God by our works and everything else and trying to keep rules and regulations and all these ceremonies, he said, that's done with. And the Bible says he brought in a better covenant that's based upon better promises with a better sacrifice. Back there is no sacrifice for that sin. You got a better sacrifice now. Back there you only had the blood of bulls and goats. Right here you got the blood of Jesus, incorruptible blood. See, so there's such a difference, and we really need to get into God's Word and see where the difference is at. Because what we've done over the years, we've tried to live in the New Testament by keeping the laws of the Old Testament. And we missed the whole point of what grace is all about. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We're going to gather around this morning and take communion together before we finish up. And ask musicians to play something, sing something. But as you come this morning, you say, "Well, you know, I've messed up this week." Join the bunch. Okay? We've all messed up. "Well, I've done something that I shouldn't have done." We've all done something that we shouldn't have done. "Well, I feel so condemned." Well, that's the law doing that. That's not the Holy Spirit. You understand that? God will never condemn you. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I mean, if we had time to go down through Romans chapter 8 there. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Persecution, problems, death itself. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But see, our concern, if there's any such word that I can use, our concern is to stay in Christ Jesus. And you stay in there by faith. Not by your feelings, not by your works, not by anything you do yourself. You stay in there by faith. Okay? This righteousness, remember what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says? By grace you're saved through faith. Okay? So we're saved, and we say it this way, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You understand that? Okay? So it's, you're in Christ. Our concern is to stay in Christ. And as long as we stay in Christ, there is no condemnation. But I've made mistakes. There's no condemnation. But I've said something I shouldn't have said. There's no condemnation. Now, it doesn't mean say you go back there and live there constantly. But from time to time, you're going to slip back. But there's no condemnation. He says, sin will no longer have dominion over you. It won't dominate you anymore. See, we haven't dominated before. When you made a mistake, you go back here, you get discouraged, you throw in the towel and say, "Listen, just want to live here now because I can't live over there anyway. I can't keep up." So, and we just, you know, give everything up and we live right here. No. See, that's how the law condemns you. Makes you feel guilty the rest of your life. Over here in Christ, you keep your eyes upon Him. And the devil said, "Well, the law says, I don't care what the law says, I'm in Christ. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace."